And one more time, that we can come into the house of God and come in, the house of God can come into the church, if we can say it that way, or the church building, because you know this building without us in it. It's just really another building, and yet when we come together in the temple, temples of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, Paul said very vehemently, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth." And you know, most of the reason that people assimilate or get influenced and drawn into the darkness of this world is because they're ashamed. They're ashamed. They're ashamed to stand for Jesus Christ. Yes. Are you ashamed tonight of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Our message tonight is a very short question. And suddenly, as I was studying, I thought to myself, perhaps they wanted me to talk about marriage separation. How would I know? The title was just, "What is Separation?" But I suppose, and I went on assuming, that you were talking about the thing that we often talk about and muse on. I suppose that you were thinking something like this morning. I have this little book, and I write in it on Sunday mornings, and I thought that maybe sometime when I die, someone could go through them. That's not the reason I write them, but I assume that somebody will, and I keep that in mind when I'm writing, but I muse in it. You know what musing is? Well, I was seeing that I was musing about 2 years ago on July 8th. We were at a campground. Our district was in Hedgesville, West Virginia. And I was musing before the service I have written there. And I'm supposing that you wanted me to speak about this. This is what caught my attention. I wrote, "This is campground surroundings. It's different than our church. It's a camp atmosphere. We have rented a tent for the services. We are using an old barn for the amenities or the food, cooking, and so forth. When I am 80, 20 years from now, will PMC, especially the Potomac District, embrace conservative practical lifestyle? Does the dress down pressures that I see at these meetings stem from practical lifestyle and practice, or do these meetings endorse and confirm dress down pressures? Which? Or both? Worship can indeed be done here. Am I just a fearful, crusty old bishop? Is the grace and mercy of God pressuring personal convictions to sustain appreciation for the conservative life values we have endorsed? Does God care about conservative lifestyle values? If he does, why does he? Are we winning the battle against ministry and bishops holding a different practice than the laity? How does our values and appearance of our little ones connect with this, or doesn't it? Our vehicles, the models, etc. Does history repeat itself? Will I know when history is repeating itself? Is it happening?" And so I wrote those musings in my book, and I don't know why I happened to run across them this morning. We were already in church, and I ran across those. I supposed, and I assumed, but I did feel so alarmed that maybe I was speaking about the wrong thing that I called Brother Merle last evening about 9 o'clock, and he said, "No, keep on studying." So we are speaking about what is the doctrine of separation. That's what I believe that you want to be taught tonight. Now, it's pretty cold, windy evening, and I understand this is the first time you've met early, and I suppose that stretched out your schedules just a little wee bit more than usual. So I suppose we could conclude this quite quickly, because, as I said, the title is not so definitive. And Webster says this, that separation is the act of processing or separating, the state of being separated, a point or a line of division, a gap between, such as the gap or the difference between the wheel and the spokes. Or as I'm looking down this aisle this evening, there's a separation on this side and on that side. Between this wall, between this room and that room. The difference between Franklin County and, is this Dauphin or Lebanon?
Dauphin.
This is Dauphin. The distance between Franklin County and Dauphin County. I have two pens in my pocket here. The one is a zebra pen. I like zebra pens because they write nice and they're cheap and economical and they go with the flow and you can get them easily and there's nothing original about zebra pens, especially. The one is a zebra pen. And I have another pen in my pocket. You know, I don't know where I got this pen, but these two pens are separated. And while they have some of the same aspects and purposes, they have very, very, very different purposes. This is a zebra pen, and this pen, I have no idea where I got it, somewhere in my travels. It's a very different pen. This pen, you turn it on and off like this. Do you know what that means? Click it. This pen's different. This pen is fine and narrow, and to turn it on, you do that, like that. And that's pretty significant, but that's not the most significant difference or separation between these two pens. And I'm speaking in parables right now. This pen has written on it, Waldorf Astoria. Hotels and resorts, and I've never been to one of those. I think it costs between $500 to $700 per night, maybe, if you want to stay at one of these in Beverly Hills, California, or Las Vegas, or wherever you might find these luxurious, high-end hotels and resorts. You see, this pen is separate from that one. It has a completely different purpose, although it is made to use, I suppose it is made to use. I suppose they expect that I might use it. I don't know where I picked it up, but I got it somewhere. I did not stay there, but it's separate from this one. It has a different purpose. And then Webster says about separation, cessation of cohabitation between married couples by mutual agreement or judicial decree, termination of a contractual relationship, such as in if you got fired from your work because you were not, for whatever reason it would be. So I suppose tonight that is the subject that we have before us. Let's turn to a number of scriptures. We cannot cover them all. The subject is too broad, but in Amos chapter 3, the prophet wrote, and you know the scripture, the prophet was writing to God's people. And the reason I need to use these scriptures is first because we need to establish the fact is separation of the Christian, is it a biblical concept or is it not? I have sometimes taught that at least there's an aspect where the Bible does not necessarily call for separation for the sake of separation. It calls for a life of discipleship which separates. And that's a heavy duty principle of the scriptures. However, tonight I want to look at some more aspects of that, because we can make the Bible say what we want it to say, and tonight we're talking about, does the Bible speak? And I'm in Amos chapter 3, verse 3. I don't think I gave you the scripture. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. And this is perhaps pulling this out of context, and I'm willing to pull it out of the context for the reason that I'm using it tonight. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, I'm not using this verse, and the reason I'm willing to pull it out of its context, because I'm not using it so much as a doctrinal verse, though it is a doctrinal verse. I'm using it as the simple truth of humanity. See? Two goals. It's just true about people. It's true about spirituality. It's true about the Providence Church. It's true about your business. It's true about your marriage. It's true about humanity. The question is, can two walk together except they be agreed? What is the answer to that question? Brother Virgil. No. You can't have a unified vision if the vision is not the same. You can't walk in the same path. You can't press for the same thing unless the vision, unless the goals, unless the values, unless the purpose. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You see, in the world in which we live, from the very beginning of time, soon after the creation, we can't tell where, there was a separation of values. There was a separation of goals. There was a separation between God and man because, well, look here. See, there was fundamental differences. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, the very first pages of the Bible. And you'll notice in chapter 3, and we know this story by heart. We've told it over and over again. We know it. We must know it. We want to know it. We want to tell it over again. But in chapter 3, in verse 14, the devil came and did his dirty thing. He came and ruined and usurped and took God's beautiful plan and ruined it. The Bible says, the woman, because she didn't know what was happening, the man, because he did, both of them fell. And in verse 14, we see the separation. And in verse 14, here are the words, the Lord God said, because thou hast done this, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. And we have in the pages of history, we have many things going on, but over in Genesis chapter 22, we have a man who had been called. And we have almost the same kind of words. In chapter 22, we have this beautiful story, one of the most beautiful stories of the Bible, about Abraham taking his son. In chapter 22, verse 16, we have almost the same words. Saith the and he said, by myself have I sworn it, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing. See, because thou hast done this thing, there's going to be a separation. And we have this story, it's in the Bible. Fundamental differences, fundamental directions. I believe Brother Virgil's father, I would hear him say something like, one coming from this direction and one from this direction. Two completely different directions. They're not the same. They're not the same. Can two walk together if they're not agreed? Two different values. One from darkness, one from light, one from heaven, one from earth. One is shame and remorse and contempt and darkness. And this is the world we're living in. We're in, the world is in darkness, and it's growing darker. And the other from light. This is separation. These are two different things. And we have this verse, and I'm just using it to lay some foundations. Can a Christian not be separated? See? Well, the answer has to be no, because he has a different... It's a battle going on. You see, and the whole Bible is about that. The whole Bible is about that warfare that's going on between God and Satan. The whole Bible is about the redemption that we have through Jesus Christ. It's all about that from the beginning to the end. It's about the redeeming mercy and grace of God. And listen, God's going to win. Whatever you're struggling with tonight, he's going to. The question is, are you going to be with him or not? See? And so can two walk together except they be agreed? And the answer is no. So a Christian, if he is going to be a Christian, and that's just a short version or a short insight and look into that. Now turn with me to 5:11 of Ephesians. We're trying to decide, is biblical separation a biblical value? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And this is Paul writing to a Gentile church, probably in the city of Ephesus. Wasn't this Ephesus that place where they had that great big march, and they had a great big, you know, we're starting to see some of that in our own country. Yesterday there were hundreds of thousands of demonstrators in D.C. That is new for our country. That is heading towards third world, but that is what the world we're living in. And this city in Ephesians and Ephesus is where that big mob came. And we couldn't hardly understand that, but that's the city that he was writing to. And the Christians there in that city, and he said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, that's pretty easy to do, although it's not, but that's much easier than the next phrase, right? What does it say? But rather reprove them. See, there is a separation between quiet disagreement and rebuke, right? There's a wide gap between quiet disagreement and rebuke. I think the Amplified Bible says something like this, but rather reprove them or speak so that they are convicted. So here we have another duty, Christian people. It's quite easy for me to be in quiet disagreement. It's another thing to reprove them. It's another thing to reprove them. And so here, it must be true that there is a biblical precedent for separation. And so I just challenge, I don't have much to say about that tonight. Another scripture, it talks about making manifest their evil deeds. And you know, yeah, just being quiet is one thing. But making manifest their evil deeds, and I must conclude sometimes in my own life that when I am silent, while I have not in itself done that which is wrong, I have not made manifest. So when I do not make manifest evil, then I have in some way aided it, right? I have some way aided evil when I am silent when I should speak. And I'm pretty certain you're a lot the same, because you are people We usually speak when we should be silent and are silent when we should speak. I'm quite certain that is how you find it. Yes. So there's a distinct choice that we must make, folks, and at the right time, to reprove the evil and to separate ourselves from the evil that is about us. I was intrigued by the short thoughts that our brother gave us, because about this business about being surprise attacked, and the young man was thinking well, Whitney was thinking well about that. It's true, you know, the surprise aspect. But there's one thing that helps us, and that is when we have, before the temptation or before the event, we have chosen to stand at the right spot. See? When we've chosen. I was about to give an illustration, but I don't know if I should, but since I started it, I will. I had a load of young people talking about, for the young people, about deciding before the temptation to separate yourself. Maybe you could learn something from it. And I don't want you to learn the wrong thing from this, but I had a load of young people from a particular church setting where cameras were not allowed. They didn't allow the, and I'm not commenting on that at all. I might be, but I'm not. I'm not commenting on that. I had them down in Virginia. We were on the Skyline Drive somewhere. And these young people requested that the driver would take some pictures on his smartphone. And I was not aware enough of the situation and what was going on. And so they were there at one of these overlooks. And so I took some pictures of these young people. And then suddenly I noticed, we're talking about being at the right position at the right time. And I noticed over on the side, there were three little girls standing over there to the side over there. I don't know if you're getting it or not. Do you get it? Three little girls, and I'm not talking about whether you should take pictures or not. That's completely aside from the point that I'm making to the young people here, see? Those little girls decided that they were going to separate themselves from what was happening. Do you get it? Well, sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes God wants us to do that. Yes. And I had some things to think about, well, like Whitney had some things to think about. All right, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Paul was writing to another church that was in the city. It was an ungodly city. And he writes these words, and he writes to them, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Now, we have applied that quite heavily to business practice, but I think that might be a stretch about what Jesus was talking about, or Paul was speaking about. It certainly would, could involve that you wouldn't be yoked with an unbeliever and get into a lawsuit that you didn't want to be part of. It would certainly that, but I'm not certain that was Paul's emphasis. He just says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord," it's not a word we use, but what in common, we might say, "what in common hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel," or one who is a unbeliever, what in common has Christ with Belial, who is an idol, a devil, or what part hath he that believeth with an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, because of that, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Those words are from the prophet Isaiah. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And then he goes on, he says, having that kind of promises, that God is your father. In chapter 7, he speaks about staying away from sins of the spirit and sins of the flesh, and growing in the perfect holiness and in the fear of God. And so we have these words. I think that they are strong words, and I think that they support that there are reasons to decide to separate ourselves. At least in some situations, we have to choose to do that. I am convinced, being 60 years old now, I am quite convinced that life is a choice. Yeah, it is. And the battles must be won before we get to them. Because if you wait, or I wait, till we get to the heat of the battle, we'll lose it. And there are some things that we can't do and should do in the growing darkness that's about us. And we have these scriptures, they're so plain. I could not stand here and preach tonight that 100% separation is only a holy life which separates us. I would have to conclude, and I must tell you, according to these scriptures and some others, it involves both of those aspects. But tonight we're talking about how will I go? Yeah. In John chapter 17, I think we'll just not go there. You know that scripture, Jesus was down on his knees praying, and he was there praying, and he says that you would be in the world separated, but not of the world. In the world, but not of the world. John chapter 17, verse 15 and 16, I believe. So if we take the sum of these scriptures, and there are other scriptures that we could use tonight, but we're using these few. The world has a culture and a life. The true and sincere Christian has a culture and a life. And while they may have some things that they do the same, while they may have some things that seem to be the same, there's two completely different purposes. This hotel company had a completely different purpose for that pen. Yes. And that, while it is a pen, it's separated. This one is different than this one. Yes. So, you know, I found it interesting that even Wikipedia understands this. Yeah, they understand that the church and the Christians, that there will be a separation. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, be not conformed to this world. And what he means is, don't use the world's model. Now, we don't go to Sears and Roebuck very often anymore because they don't even know if they're in business anymore. Now we are forced to do online, on and on. But you know what a motto is? You go in there and they have this upper torso of a man and he's got that nice jacket. And it just shows you what it would look like, you know, a motto. Motto. And Paul says, do not use the world's model. Don't let the world determine how you will do it. Now, I thought of a number of Bible illustrations, and we'll go over them kind of quickly, but where God's people were really, really separated. I thought of that, there's beautiful stories there in Exodus, you know. Here they were coming out of Egypt. I like to make the Bible somehow into my life, but I can't always. It just, you know, our cultures are so different and the times are somewhat different, but they're not nearly as much different as we want them to be or try to make them, you know. So here we had these people coming out of Egypt, what, maybe some 600,000 men and more. And we have that Bible story, and there they were at the Red Sea, and the Bible says, on this side was the Egyptians, and it was darkness, and on this side was light. Well, even before that, it was that night. Well, it was daytime, I guess, but no, it was 3 days, I believe. It was so dark in the Egyptian houses that you could feel it. And it says that people sat for days and didn't move. But in the houses of the Israelites, there was light. Separation. See? Yes. And then that night where the firstborn died. In some houses, in most houses, but in other houses, firstborns were saved. You know, the night of the pastor. Separation. Difference between God's people. Our brother this morning in our devotions at Calvary, he's read from Joshua, and he didn't say this, but I was thinking about it because of this message tonight. And, you know, you had two men, 600,000 men said, we can't do it. In fact, they said that we're like grasshoppers. If you do a little quick math, I think you could figure out that that would be like a 336-foot tall man alongside of me. That would be quite a man, right? I think that's kind of the math that they were using. They said we were like grasshoppers. So it would be kind of like a 300-foot building or tower or memorial standing there. And that's what they compared it with. So you had two men against 600,000. See? Separation. And two said, we can do it. And 600,000 said, we can't do it. Get out stones. Let's give these people a grave. Two against 600,000. I'm thinking about times in the Bible when the Bible was full of them. The Bible was full of the separations between the righteous and the unrighteous. You can put your illustrations in there. You can put Job in there. You can put Abraham in there. You can put the prophets in there. You can put... This week, my wife and I are reading through the chronological Bible, and it's taking us a long time because we often and mostly, if I'm home, and I am a lot in the morning, so we are reading from that Bible. Just this week, we went through one of the prophets. I'm learning a lot of things from reading that Bible that way. Yeah, that's not the subject tonight, but I'm learning lots of things. But this week we were reading there in one of the prophets, I believe it was Isaiah, and he talked about how the people of God had become so influenced and so unseparated from the people. He said, it's like a table full of vomit all over, and there's no place to sit down at a clean spot. He said, this is just a mess. And the reason was is because God's people had stopped doing that. And they began to do this. And that was the situation. And of course, God brought judgment. The Bible was full of those stories. See? The Bible was full of stories where men were separated, and the Bible was full of the stories and illustrations about men who were not separated. Illustrations where God's people mingled and began to take on the influences. That means they began to think like the world. We call it worldliness. It happens in the heart. See? It happens inside. I used to think that worldliness was when some young lady was sitting at the sewing machine and she thought, well, I'll do the sleeve this way. I used to think that was worldliness. And that's not worldliness. That's just the result of it. That's the result of it. You know, that's inside. That's the start of it, I suppose. But when God's people, either by choice to do it, or not paying attention to make a choice not to do it. Getting a little complicated there, right? But see, sometimes we have to choose. I still believe that both these aspects are true in the Christian life experience. It's when we live a holy life that separation happens, but it's also when we choose certain values what happens. So these are both the dynamics of our lives. I have 7 points here tonight about, first and foremost, or not first and foremost, but one of my first points is that God needs to give us, and we need to ask for, a renewed mind. Last week at Calvary, I preached from Matthew chapter 23 and the religious situation and the religious anarchy and religious situation of which Jesus rebuked so sharply. And while there's a lot of factors in there, we too are prone to this. It's called legalism. You know, if I make a law, I make another law. So we have all these laws. And laws are good. Laws are not wrong. That's not my point. But an unconverted but religious, legalistic mind, what happens is every time you make a law, there's a loophole. Yes. Every time, this is the nature of law. If you make a law, there's going to be a loophole. So then, to close up that one, you make another law. But what happens is you get another loophole. So another law. And another loophole. Another law. This is going to get exponentially undoable soon, right? Well, it's just messy. Now that's funny, but you know, it's religious. You got that? We even know what this is, right? Yeah. This is even separation, right? Huh? Yeah. Oh, I have one brother that's saying no. He's saying no. Well, we have our minds thinking. Now, which is it, Virgil? You're supposed to have the last word in this congregation on these matters. Is it separation or isn't it separation? Well, let's just stop that. That's not the point. See, if this is our separation, there's no remedy for it. There's no authority. There's no authority that can control this situation. End of story, zero, done, finished. There's no authority that can regulate this separation. If our separation before God is going to be violated, it's going to have to be higher than this. And we all know we all know about this. This is the broken human nature. But young folks, if you want to embark on a life of true separation to God, you'll need to be asking, what does God think about it? If you ask, what is wrong with it, you'll stay on this road. We must be asking, what does God think about it? And we could go on a long time on that little illustration. I'm just bringing in here as a point, a legalistic mind. And the Bible says, be renewed in your heart and mind. Be transformed in your spirit. And take on a real reason for separation. And this is a battle that we will battle. We don't need to get all out of sorts and broken. When Edmund was writing in his journal, he doesn't need to. He can just journal like that. And I think we need to journal like that. I think we do. We need to be thinking about those things. So we don't need to lose our peace. But the truth is that true separation is going to have to come from something different than this. And of course, that was the problem in Matthew chapter 23. A group of people, the scribes and the Pharisees, and Jesus rebuked them strongly. In today's political world, they would say he slammed them. He didn't, because he was from God and he was righteousness, but he really spoke out against it. Secondly, the separation that God wants his people is going to involve our mental capacities. And I know this is a deep and divisive subject in Mennonite churches, so I'll try to be kind with it. But biblical separation is going to have something to do with our thoughts, with our mental life. And whether we believe it or not, our mental life is highly influenced. You know, it's influenced by our reading and our listening venues, our influence, our choice. I don't know if you're going to like me about saying this or not, but I'm going to say it anyway, and I'm sure you'll just like me anyway, but you might disagree with me. I think that Christian people in the Anabaptist circles in which we associate, I think that we should just go ahead and accept that we use public radio and television. I think that if we would at least accept that we do so, it would be one of the biggest steps we could make to separate ourselves from it. I'm sorry, but it's true. See, I had a neighbor about 10 years ago It's not been that long ago. His mother was conservative brethren. One, he's unmarried. He's 80-some now. He comes to my house. He's not saved. I've talked to him. He knows I'm a preacher. He tells me stuff. He says, so I know that his conscience is alive and active. But when his mother died in 1990, something like that, he had always taken her to church on Sunday morning. But then when she died, he has never darkened the church door since that. But one day I was at my computer, and he said, came in, and he was in a bad spirits, I think. He at least told me his heart. He said, Edwin, you've been telling me for 25 years, you've been telling me that it's wrong to watch TV. And he said, now you people do it. What was I supposed to say? And he said, you know that all I do is watch the news, and I know that's true. I've been in and out of his house. All he does is watch the news. So he said to me, Edwin, you have told me for years that I shouldn't have the TV, and now he said, you people have it. I don't want to be too hard on us, but I think we at least thought, okay, so now we have the podcast. We have all the things, and I know I'm supposed to speak about that in Winter Bible School, so I don't want to unload too heavily now because I'm going to unload then. But what is happening to us, we might as well at least admit. Let's just at least admit it. We will have at least made one step to be able to separate the good from the bad. My point is about separation in our mental values, and all of these things are bombarding our minds and our mental capacities. And the fear and the torment and the hopelessness and the false religion of a broken society comes pouring into our life and our influence. And we wonder sometimes why we're struggling with depression. The attitudes of our life, see, someone has said, I know someone else said it because I read it in my Bible. I write in my Bible. I write lots of stuff in my Bible, underline and scribble. It only costs $50 anyway, young people. You spend more than that to go out for pizza in one night. Right in there anyway. I know that some, it says something like this. It's that our attitudes are those like a stream that starts to go down through our minds, and it starts to cut a chasm. It cuts a groove. You ever see ground erosion? You know what I'm talking about? And it just starts to cut, and the water just keeps pouring there. And after a while, our whole life is issuing out of it. I won't say much more there because I care about it. And I am well aware, maybe more well aware than you think, about the difficulties of our mental life. But my point is this. God wants our mental life to be separated from the darkness of this world in some way. And our attitudes and our life. Oh, we should have a smile on our faces. That's one of the reasons I am so opposed to what's happening in the scientific reform of our world, because they are asking us to cover our testimony. It's opposed to the scriptures. Everything that is happening, friends, is opposed to the scriptures. As scripture says, get together, come together, hug Brother Dale, give him a kiss. It says all of these things. I can hardly believe some of the things that we are willing to accept in the last 10 months. I can hardly believe it. Our decisions 1 year ago today would have been altogether different. Now I must ask myself, which is right? Was it right then, or is it right now? It can't be both. Well, I don't think I'm down on point number 4, so I'm going. I'm sorry, but I'm not. in our physical life. Separation in our physical life, in our dress, in our physical contacts, in our entertainment, in our speech, in our honesty, in our business. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this point because I think that the Christian church has done pretty well putting some laws in place here. I think we've done a lot there, except we haven't. Because far too often it ends up being this, God help us. In our physical life, we call them decrees, we call them standards, we call them brotherhood agreements, we call them biblical things. It's the way we appear, the way we interact. Number four is in our social life. Social life just means how do we interact with other people? You know, I don't know if I should do a poll or not because I don't know if it'd be accurate. But I get the impression that there's a possibility that the world expects us to do something different than they are doing. Do you think so? I think. I think if they could voice it, I think if they could get it into words, I think if they could articulate. Some of us aren't very good at articulating what's going on inside here. We've got all this and we know, you know, we lay awake at night and we think about these things, but we can't articulate it. We can't get it in a row of points. We can't say it. I think that maybe the world that is about us, if you could somehow draw out the deep thoughts of their mind, what do you think is the probability that they might expect that God's people would take a different position? Social life, in our friendships, in our careers, in our ways of see, now we socially interact in a different way, and I know that I am very prone, being 60, to not be able to connect with the younger generation. We stopped on the way home from the baptism last night. My wife and I went through the drive-thru at Burger King at Winchester, and they had to bring the food out. And the man said to me, I didn't know what made him say it now. We had a short little conversation about his age, and he said, whenever you don't like the young people's music, then you know that you are old. And what he was talking about is how these things change. So I'm probably really off beat, young people. You're probably just saying he is a crusty old man up there, so I'm willing to accept at least part of that. But the point is this. The way we communicate is now different. Do you know what I mean when we post something? It might be as simple as a WhatsApp message to a group or whatever it is. Do you understand how much we long or decide or kind of, what if Virgil doesn't even answer it? And then I'm like, I wonder what he's thinking about it. Guess what? If it was a righteous post, it doesn't matter, Virgil, whether you say yes and amen or if you don't, right? But we live in this world. You know what I'm talking about. Of course you do. You expect an answer, right? Come on, shake your head yes, because I know I'm right. You want an answer. Yes. You know what that is? That's a me mentality. So I know I'm on some pretty thin ice here, because I'm not even suggesting that all of it is sin, but you know, And we need to be thinking about these things. And I do wonder why some people post what they post. And I do wonder why. I just wish I could go down my list, and I wish I could really ask some people, now, why did you put this on here? What am I supposed to receive from this? And does it show your values? Does it show? I understand this going on in family circles in a different way than I do in group. Anyway, I'm sorry. I just plowed in too deep, and you probably didn't hear me because I went in too deep. But I do ask you to think about it, because you see, a lot of changes are happening, and how is this going to work out? And it can work out. I'm not here to tell you that we should never accept change. I'm not here to tell you that every post is wrong. I'm not telling you that at all. I might be. I'm just not saying that. I'm just saying that, you know, we need to be thinking about how is this affecting us, our social life, our social interactions. You know, I'm pretty human. I will admit to you that when I get in deep troubles, you know what I do? If there's something I don't know how I want to deal with Brother Virgil on, and I don't know what to do with it, I just kind of hope that when I call him, it goes to voicemail. Or I see he's calling me back, I might just let it go to voicemail so that I can evaluate social interactions. See, it's better just to call him and say, Virgil. Well, that's a huge subject. But it's about how are God's people going to walk a separated? Be ye not unequally yoked with unrighteousness. How's this going to be? How are we going to do this? The selfies, the posting, the likes, the unlikes, and on this goes. Me feelings. They all affect and influence our mental health. I'm sorry, I need to finish. In spiritual life, in our personal passion and desire, our fellowship with other Christians and other churches, and we face a tension in this area. And we do not believe that we're the only congregations. We don't believe that we're the only church group. We don't believe that at all. And yet somewhere along the line, from the Nebraska Amish, somewhere along the line, God's pleasure, God's approval, God's eyes. And I'm not suggesting this is approved and this is not approved. I shouldn't have used that illustration. But somewhere along the line, see, separation. In our spiritual values, in our spiritual pursuits, in our fellowship with other Christians, and so forth. And number six, in church and state. We really wanted Mr. Trump to win, didn't we? Go ahead, shake your head yes. We could make more money. And I've mused on that. How much we really thought he should win. And you know what? I don't even think that's all wrong. But we are separated. That's them, and this is us. I think the reason that people really wanted Mr. Trump, who is a very ungodly man, a womanizer, he's a very ungodly man. But it is true that the right wing is holding on to some values which the left wing is not. We should be honest with that. And the Bible says that we should pray. But maybe it is over. And one time that we do know, one thing we do know is that Jesus already told us it's going to get worse and worse. So whether it's 4 years, 5 years, 15 years, or a dozen years, or whatever, young people, you cannot expect that the world is going to get better. No, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. But that is no reason for despair. That is no reason to assimilate with the world. That's no reason to get into their camp. You can make it. Yes. In number 7, turn with me in Titus. Paul writes about this. Paul lived in these days. Yes, he did. He lived in these days. There was one time he was a few times in the John and Peter. They specifically, listen, they specifically violated government mandates. The Bible said, the mandate was, do not go up to the temple to preach. And the very next day, they did it. Right? The very next day, they did it. They could have chosen 1,000 other places to preach. Right? But they went specifically to the temple to preach. So I am challenging a little bit the one-sided argument of Romans chapter 13. And I am not saying that Romans 13 is not. It is a very, very powerful scripture. But at the end of the day, I think I'm still in church and state. At the end of the day, we don't listen to any of the government's rules. None of them. You got that? We listen to these, and where they are not against God, we obey. That's a powerful statement I made, but that's what I believe. So we as Christians, in our separation and all the turmoil and all the onslaughts and the political civil war that's going on, we're going to have to talk to God about some of these things and how are we going to relate to Him. Well, anyway, I'm in Titus chapter 1. You see, we're talking and ending up here about separation. In Titus chapter 1, Paul writes to Titus chapter 2, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious coming or the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a different hope. We have a different goal. We have a separated life. We have a separated end. We have a separated eternity. We have a separated hope. We have a separated reason. We have a separated kingdom. We have the church. You see. And Paul says, looking for the blessed hope. I don't look for it enough. In fact, I'm being even influenced. One brother said to me about 2 weeks ago, he said, Edwin, are you actually saying that you should want to die? No. Because death and sickness and disease has terrible pain and suffering with it. That's why the Bible says that Jesus overcome it. And at His coming, He will be the victor. And he will defeat death. However, you must agree. Paul said he struggled with staying or leaving. I don't think we struggle quite enough with that. And maybe it's because I'm older and not younger. So I'm not preaching and teaching that we should want to die. But we have a separated hope. It's us and them. They don't have it. There's good reason to be fearful. There's good reason to take up fight. There's a good reason to take up arms. There's a good reason to be afraid to die. There's a good reason to be afraid. of what's happening in our world. Of course, they should be. But are we? Let us not lose the separation of the glorious hope that lies for the Christian. Brothers and sisters, it's going to be better than what we have now. We just have to believe it and choose it by faith that it's really going to be what God has intended to be. Oh, that we would be separated people, and that we would choose the right answers, and that our neighbors would write in their journals, I wonder why those people are like that.